your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lay Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. As you know, the last few weeks have been dedicated to interviews with people who have had Reiki for many, many years, who were initiated as children and sometimes born into what we call a Reiki family, which means that their mother and father already had Reiki when they were conceived and born. And so it's been really sweet to interview these people, some of whom are masters and some of whom are not, in order to have a different feeling for what life might be if there were no difference in one's life. So, for instance, in a lot of our adult lives, people have had an existence or an understanding of what life was before Reiki and then what life was after Reiki. We're coming to the end of this series of interviews, and I have the pleasure to interview someone that I haven't talked to for many, many years. His name is Mark, and Mark De Meyer, and he's from Holland. I know his parents very well because they're both masters that I've had contact with for, I think, over 20 years now. And I would like Mark to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
And I'm really, really happy that you have consented for the interview. So what I usually do is ask my interviewees how they came into contact with Reiki and what it was like for you. So could you tell us your Reiki story?
My parents got Reiki, first my father, and after that my mother as well. And after a while, they asked us, me and my brother, if we were interested as well. And, well, we were. So it went quite natural, actually.
So, And how old were you when your father and mother came into contact with Reiki?
About 8 years old, I think.
And how old are you now?
Now I'm 34.
34?
Yeah, already.
Oh, that's stock. Sorry. So I met you when you were about 10?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe? Yeah, around 10. So, I mean, 34. That's amazing. Wow. Okay. On with your story. So you were all initiated by Inger, or?
Yeah. The first degree I got from Inger Droog, as well as the second degree. And my master initiation was by my mother.
So when you, when your father and mother first started practicing Reiki, what was that like for you at the age of around eight years old? Was it pretty strange?
Well, no, not really. Well, of course, I got to think about it a lot because this interview was coming up. And before there were Reiki classes, Inge Droog gave a lot of classes at our house. And before that, my parents had a, maybe it's a weird comparison, but before that they had a theater. So there were already a lot of people in our house always. it sounds a bit weird to compare
no,
it to a theater.
No, I totally but, understand.
So we're kind of used to having a lot of new people around. But it was very, we were always there, so we could see a lot and we... gave Reiki to the other people. Well, after we had the initiation, we initiated as well. But it was very nice. It was very warm. We had a lot of fun, actually.
That's great. And did you, as you were then growing up, did you ever have a moment when it became kind of strange and you didn't know whether you really wanted to be associated with Reiki?
Well, in the family, it was always a very very natural thing and a very nice thing, positive. But sometimes it was hard, especially when you're growing up as a teenager. A lot of people around you, they don't understand it, or they have weird ideas about the whole thing. Reiki then was quite new, especially in Europe. So people didn't really know what to think of it, actually. So I think after a while, I started I stopped trying to explain it. And it was more of a family matter. And only thing we could share with other family members and really close friends.
So how old were you when you when you decided that you wanted to have second degree?
I think I was 12, yeah.
12.
I'm quite sure.
Wow.
12 years old.
And do you remember any of your thoughts about second degree at that moment?
Well, I thought it was really cool that you could send Reiki by air. So that's something else I found really interesting. But it felt as something I would really like to do. I think I was too young to be conscious of the fact that I want to develop in a spiritual way. But when I think back to that period of time, I think that that was the thing, actually. Maybe not in those words, but yeah, I think that was the reason for it.
Uh-huh, how interesting. So so you received second degree, and that was pretty young, 12 years old. Did you feel like you were being entrusted with a secret, or was it just
yeah.
a kind of normal process?
No, no. But Inge, yeah, she really made it clear that it was, especially the symbols, there was a, well, it's a secret. You shouldn't share it with anybody except for people who also have a second degree. So it was kind of exciting because my little brother, years later, he got his second degree. So it was kind of hard because we shared everything. So all of a sudden, I couldn't share this with him. So it was kind of not hard, but it's kind of a weird thing. But also, maybe it was a bit flattering because you belong to the grown-ups because they have the same thing. So I think it sounds quite cool.
Yeah, great, great. So did you notice when you were growing up in school, my grandmother used to say that Reiki really helped us when we were in school, and I'm just wondering, did you use it when you were going to school in your studies or, you know, trying to relieve stress around tests and so on?
Yeah, no, I still do, but yeah, I think from day one I got it. I never stopped using it, actually, for all the tests. And I wasn't too bright a student, so... Yeah, I use it a lot, and I think it. And I also think it helped me a lot. I think I would have been worse off when I didn't have the second degree.
So did you send? I mean, I'm just in this moment thinking about. Well, if I had had, really, if I had had knowledge like you did when I was going through high school, which was quite intense for me, because I never studied. You know, I was always goofing around doing something. So the day of tests, I would, like, the night before, I would, like, lie awake in my bed thinking, well, why didn't you read the book? Like, why didn't you study? Like, what is going on? And then I would just get myself into a panic, and I would take the test, and, you know, I did okay, but I realized that it was really, really stressful, the kind of strategy I had for school, and I just didn't know if I had had Reiki at the time, if I would have been able to send Reiki to myself or to, I don't know. I'm just wondering if you were ever in those situations and how you used it.
Well, it sounds really familiar if you talk about it like that. So, and since I had Reiki, well, I don't, you never know. I can't really compare it because, well, I don't
know. You've always had it.
I did it. So, but it, yeah, but it's something that's threatening my whole life. It's always putting off things to the last moment. But still, I think it's especially when you're in a stressful situation. And when I send Reiki to myself or to the situation, that you can think more clearly and make better decisions. But I think the decision of starting earlier with your work, that's something up to you. I don't think that maybe it helps, but well, so far, didn't have much luck with that one.
Right. Well, I don't know. Maybe we are born with some kind of patterning complex. I don't know.
Yeah. It's probably
I know that I know that deadlines still for me are really motivators, especially
yeah.
the night before the deadline. So, did you notice? And so, did you? You used it in school, and did you notice that in your family dynamic? Did that change at all for you as a child when your family began to do Reiki together?
Yeah, I think, well, it was quite a long period of time over what all changes went.
Uh-huh.
But I think my parents themselves really changed and were given great opportunities to, actually become better persons by Reiki.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. Maybe this is kind of private, but, well, of course, you know it all from me. I'm not sure if they would still be together if Reiki wouldn't be there. So because uh-huh. it was real sort of a cement in our family, not only uh-huh. between my parents, but also between my brothers and my parents.
Uh-huh. Do you have two other brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you all did Reiki at some point?
Yeah. Quite young, all of us.
Uh-huh. Yes, well, you know, it's interesting because it seems that in lots of families, Reiki creates some kind of a context for, you know, the family to be together. And then there are some times when it's quite obvious that the motivation for staying together or the thing that everyone thought they had in common actually didn't exist. So then, you know, the family splits up because there's an untruth that has been revealed. So maybe what happened in your family was that the truth was revealed and the truth was that you all belonged together.
Well, that's also a way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Yeah, and there's a lot of work to that, too.
Sorry?
There's a lot of work to that, too, staying together.
Yeah, well, it doesn't come easy, not even with Reiki, so... But it sure helps.
Right. Well, we're almost ready for a station break now, and I'm going to give you a few moments to think if you have a story about your practice when you were a young lad. And if you wanted to share that, something about your treating yourself or, you know, a pet or something. And meanwhile, we're going to go to a station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Format.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's 7th Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, no. It's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Mark DeMeyer, and he's from the Netherlands, actually Amsterdam. Now, are you living in Amsterdam? Am I telling the truth?
Yeah. I'm still living in Amsterdam.
And I've known his parents for many years, and I just found out I've known him for 24 years, but I didn't realize how long it's been. And Mark, I'm just wondering, do you have a early story of Reiki that you could share with us?
Yeah, it's kind of hard because it's not really one story. It's something that's been there for, well, actually every day in my life.
Uh-huh.
Hardly goes by when I'm not practicing Reiki or thinking about it or doing something in some form with it. Well, actually, it's a hard question. Well, then maybe the first time I really got proof of it, as you
mm-hmm.
say.
Right.
When I was a kid, I just got Reiki, and Inga told us that you could recharge batteries with Reiki.
Oh, right.
So I had this Walkman, and I was really interested in that because a lot of my my savings money went up on buying batteries for my Walkman. So when I found out, I collected some batteries, and I went to bed with these batteries, and I could recharge them. It was really practical, but yeah.
Oh, not and really. You did recharge them.
Yeah, it worked fine, actually.
maybe
it's a way to save our planet.
You held them in your hand when you went to sleep, or?
Yeah. That's how I did it, and
mm-hmm.
it went. It worked quite well, actually.
Uh-huh.
Never tried it later on.
Well, that's great. That's very, very practical. So as you grew older and you came out of your primary school, and I don't know what you... I don't know the right words in the Netherlands for your schooling mm-hmm. different levels. So then you decided... I know that you're in film. Would that be correct?
I'm a cameraman.
Yeah, you're a cameraman, and how did you get led into being a cameraman?
First, I thought I wanted to be, a sculptor. Is that the correct word?
A sculptor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But after a while, I found out that images were more interesting. At the time, I lived in Curaçao with my parents.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to find a job in Holland to go back home to work for a film company. And, one thing led to another. And now, 15 years later, I'm still doing it.
So, wow. Well, it must be
a long way. Yeah, well, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But it's a nice way to do something which you're very passionate about.
So does Reiki come into this at all? I mean, I can imagine that number one, there are always technical problems with these kinds of things. And do you feel, do you use Reiki to assist you in allowing things to move smoothly and so on?
Yeah, for sure. Well, for starters, almost always send, when I have a difficult shooting day the next day, I always send Reiki to the shooting day that everything works well and the atmosphere is nice. I use a lot of symbols, even when we have technical problems. You'll be amazed how well it works. And also because it's a very high-pressure situation when you're shooting a film. So there's quite easily quarrels or egos that cause problems.
Uh-huh.
And then I found Reiki a really smooth way to keep everything going so people don't get stuck in this situation, which is really bad.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I use it a lot. On the other hand, it's kind of difficult to talk about it because a lot of people, at least in Holland, in the film industry, are really skeptical about everything that has to do with anything out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
It's quite conservative.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of a pattern, actually. It's the same thing as in my teens, that I only talk about it with really good friends. And furthermore, it's something with me and very personal and more in the background, actually.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, interesting. Well, then tell me, how can I put this? How did you come to the feeling of becoming a master? Was that something that came when you were younger and you just, you know, waited for the right time? Or, I'm interested in your story of how this, because taking first and second degree is one thing, but, you know, going toward being a Reiki master, I mean, it seems to me that it's a big step.
Yeah, it is. I sure agree. But it's, at first, when I got the second degree, I sort of got the taste for it, and I really thought, well, I want to be a master, but of course I was way too young. So I thought, well, I'll wait and wait some more. But the whole idea of giving classes and teaching, that always was something I wasn't really committed to, or wasn't the thing I really wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
That was the reason primarily to put it off. Because I always have learned by Rolf and Lili, by Inge, that the primary reason to get the master's degree is to teach others. And about 1.5 years ago, I was talking to Lili about it, and she said, "Well, you don't necessarily have to do that. Maybe that will come later on, but it's not necessary to do it now." One second, there's somebody standing at my door making a lot of noise. Excuse me.
Okay.
We have 1 second. Yeah, I'm really sorry.
We have a little bit of an interruption with this story because he's had a visitor at his house. I was listening to
terribly sorry
noises. Yeah. So, whoever that is, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
I'm back.
Okay, good. So, you were talking to Lily, who is your mother, about being a master and your considerations about teaching, that you wanted to teach, you thought you needed to teach, but wasn't necessarily a consideration to be initiated. Is that what you said?
Yeah, well, it was one of the things. It felt really right at that time when we decided. I think really in the background, Lily still thinks that you should pass on Reiki.
Uh-huh.
But she thought if we do the initiation, then that will come later on.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. And I think maybe she's right. Because I would never have guessed it, but I'm even thinking about it right now. So she was right in the end, after all.
And what was she right about?
Well, because at first I really didn't want to teach Reiki, but as I was initiated as a master, I found out that all of a sudden people around me started asking questions who before that were never really interested in Reiki. So it's actually funny how things work out.
Oh, that's very interesting. So have you taught your first class yet?
No, not yet. But I've supported Lily on a couple of classes. I don't know if that's really the right way to say it, but...
Yeah,
that's... I didn't do any first degree classes on myself. I'm sitting in the...
Pardon me?
Usually I'm there with Lily to... Well, of course, it's I've witnessed a lot of classes, but I never initiated anybody. So, that's, and there's a big difference between getting taught how to do it and just being present. So.
Yes, exactly. Well, it seems like you're taking it step by step. I know that for Wanya Twan and Inger Drog also, that it seems that there is this philosophy that to give your children your most precious gifts, whether they be courage or other qualities of character or something like Reiki, which is also very precious to your parents, mm-hmm. and to give that, you know, to hand that on, you know, to your children is a very natural thing to do.
Yeah, it felt really natural.
Mm-hmm. And then to have you learn a little bit over time, I think that's a natural process more than what we're used to, which is to do first degree and then have a space and then second degree and have a space and then be initiated as masters and sort of feeling, feeling like you're flung out into the space on your own. This way, it just seems like it's a slow and natural process between you and your mom.
Yeah, well, it's also very... Well, maybe convenient in a way, because I see my parents as teachers anyway. All my life, they've been my teachers, not only in Reiki, but in just life in general. So it's really quite handy that if I have any questions about Reiki, I just call them, and since they're my parents anyway, we just talk about it.
Uh-huh.
It's a very nice way and a very good way, I think, to learn, especially about Reiki.
So there's never been a kind of division between their role in your life as parents and then their role as your Reiki masters.
Well, division is, sorry.
A division, a separation between the two. There are these two roles, or these two roles?
Well, I think I understand what you mean. No, actually not, I think.
So, that's really great because it seemed like, you know, in my case with my grandmother, that there was, I always wanted her to be a grandmother, but I really got years after she died that she was really my Reiki master, and always that was where she came from because that was who she was.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps that's also the same for you, but you just recognized it a lot earlier than I did. Which is great. I mean, it saves a lot of angst, I have to say. It saves a lot of worry and concern. And
yeah.
Wanting something different.
Yeah.
Be able to see that, you know, your parents are Reiki masters, and therefore that's where they come from. And so There is no division between these two people in your parents, the Reiki master and the parent.
Yeah. No, now I completely understand you. I'm sorry. Take some time. No, it's one and the same thing, actually.
Yeah, great, good. Okay, well, we're ready for another commercial break, so we'll take a little pause now. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Formative.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey. Whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. So now that we have all of the details of your story, or at least a lot of them, Mark, I'm just wanting to ask you, over these years of practicing Reiki, I'm wondering what the gift is, the gifts that Reiki has brought to you as a person.
I think Reiki is... the main reason for who I am today. I think that's the, not that I'm completely content with myself, but it's a thing where I'm really grateful for. With my perspectives on my own life and on the world around me, that's something that's really, yeah, I think that's primarily because of Reiki. It's, yeah. I think that would be the greatest gift of Reiki to me.
Mm-hmm. And do you know or have you experienced any challenges with Reiki?
By any examples, you mean?
Well, sometimes the challenges are like inner challenges, like from your journey. Sometimes, although this is very uncommon with people who have had Reiki since they were children, sometimes it's, there's a challenge of, you know, other people coming to you and saying, you know, that Reiki is not right, or, you know, and trying to persuade you to not do Reiki and so on. I mean, I'm just wondering if there have been challenges in your life that have been presented through Reiki.
Yeah, well, there were people who didn't agree on Reiki, but I just really didn't agree with them. So, but I think, that's an opinion everybody can have. But I know what it is doing for me, and what it did for me, and what it did for my family, and I can see that every day. So it's really, I don't worry about, because, well, of course, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but. Well, like I said, I just don't agree. So, but I don't. But maybe that's a personal thing. I don't start a discussion about it, because if somebody has his mind made up already, I don't think I can change it.
Mm-hmm.
You only start an endless conversation, which will lead to nothing. So,
right,
it's a waste of time.
So, and what I would say in echoing, you know, what you just said is that it's really much easier to understand that we can't convince somebody of our own position, but just to have security in what our own experiences have been.
Yeah.
In our lives with Reiki. So if you were to think about the gift that Reiki, I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, there are... I would assume millions of people in the Netherlands who practice Reiki of all kinds. Would you? And I'm just wondering if you feel like do you feel like it's possible that it has made a difference in the way people have related to each other in the Netherlands, or if you feel that you can sense a different feeling?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what I'm asking, but it's just very interesting, because I've been, I've spoken with some people who have numbers of Reiki students, and especially in Germany, they have years ago said, well, there are millions of people in Germany practicing Reiki, which is just, you know, amazing. And so I would imagine if that were true in Germany, it certainly would be true in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's changing the, well, almost like changing the nature of a people, because I think most people who practice Reiki, well, it sounds kind of weird, but most people who practice Reiki are already, most of them are already more open-minded or willing to make effort to do positive things. And people who are really stuck in negative ways, well, you don't see them a lot. And the people who I encountered during classes from Rolf Lillebeke, for instance, most of those people, well, literally fled from a Reiki class. So it's kind of hard, I think, to... But I think it has a positive influence, of course.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, I couldn't imagine it having a negative influence, so therefore it should be positive.
That's a good way to look at it. And
but I do sense, but maybe that's from meeting. Sometimes it's like because, well, you sort of are talking about the Reiki community then in Holland. People experience the Reiki energy almost in another kind of way, that it used to be really intense, almost at the point where it was frightening, because it's quite deep in workshops and stuff like that. But nowadays you see so many, This is no criticism at all, but you see so many forms of Reiki which are combined with other kinds of spiritual ways.
Uh-huh.
But maybe that's not even the right way to put it, but it's almost like people in general are so used to consuming things that Reiki as well is becoming something people think about of, well, let's do a weekend of Reiki instead of seeing it as the gift it is.
Uh-huh.
But then again, I don't think that's a bad thing because still Reiki will do its thing. So
uh-huh.
If they have it, it will work its way out. But that's so that's why I'm saying it's not really a criticism,
right.
But more of a thing I see around me.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, my grandmother used to say that what she wanted in the world was to see Reiki as a household word, that it would be like as common as aspirin.
Well, maybe we'll get there.
Well, I think we're getting closer and closer, that's for sure. So
yeah.
And do you see Reiki as being something that is a spiritual path for you, or because you mentioned before that you were really interested in the part of Reiki and the spiritual aspect of it, and I'm just wondering what you meant by that.
Well, from a personal point of view, I feel that Reiki is sort of an accelerator for, well, even your opinions or the ways you view your own life or how you experience things that happen to you. That's
mm-hmm.
it's something that I got really got conscious of. If things, even bad or good things, would happen to me, that I would just I wouldn't take it just for as the way it was, but I would think about why it wasn't that way. And I think Reiki is something that it's sort of an eye-opener in a lot of ways.
Uh-huh.
As well as sort of like an accelerator. So things
uh-huh.
happen.
And what is it? What is it accelerating?
I have to think for the English word. How... Well, how your development will go
as a spiritual person?
Yeah, but also in well, primarily in a spiritual way, but it has its reflections on daily life as well, because
uh-huh.
you will behave differently in different situations if you think about it differently or feel about it differently.
And would you consider Reiki to be your spiritual practice?
I'm sorry?
Would you consider Reiki to be your spiritual practice, you personally?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Yeah? I mean, let's see, maybe I should define this. So, what I found in my own... In my own practice was that I just woke up one day talking about this to a friend of mine. This was years and years ago. And he said, you don't need to look for a spiritual practice. Reiki is yours. And I went, really? I mean, I didn't really, had never considered it. So then we had a lot of discussions about this, and finally, after a couple of years, I realized that he was right, and then I had to figure out what that really meant. So I'll be back with you to talk more about spiritual practice in just a moment. We're going to stop
okay.
for a station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
grunt?
Yeah, be like, there you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Well, I'm just sharing with Mark my own experience of finding out that Reiki was a spiritual practice for me. And obviously the question is then, what is my definition of spiritual practice? And for me, it goes to a sense of, number one, realizing that I'm more than my physical body. So I have what I would call spirit. And this, there are so many things involved with this now in my own daily practice life with Reiki that I actually don't have words for. So I just call it spirit. It's a lot of it means that it's non-physical. And that I need to nurture this part of myself, the spirit part of myself. So like I have exercise, you know, like physical exercise, like walking or skiing or, you know, going to the gym for nourishing my physical body, I need also to have nourishment for my spiritual body, if I can put it like that. So Reiki for me is like a spiritual practice. I get to, you know, lay my hands on and have these feelings that come very clearly as I practice Reiki, either treating myself or other people, and it nourishes this part of my spirit. So that's what I mean by having a spiritual practice.
Yeah, I totally agree. Sort of a short answer, but it's like you put it, it's of course there were periods in my life where I thought I was too busy to practice Reiki.
Uh-huh.
These were always periods in my life where it was like my life was standing still. And when I started to practice Reiki more and treat myself and other people again, then it's like sort of oiling your machine, actually.
Yeah.
Everything goes a lot smoother and feels a lot better in my life when I practice Reiki daily, mm-hmm. or at least as often as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it gives me a lot of, well, personally, it gives me a lot of support during my my life, actually.
And do you keep in mind the five principles at all?
Yeah, I try to live by daily, actually. So it sounds kind of awkward, but it's not that I literally bring back the lines in my head, but it became such a way of thinking about my life and how to react on situations, also in my work, and I benefit from it greatly, I think. I feel a lot better when I do something according to these ways than I would do by solving something in aggression or something, something like that. So it gives me really the feeling that you're on the right track or you're doing a good thing.
Great. So as a new master and a developing one, and a student of Reiki at the same time, I'm wondering, do you have in your consciousness your next steps? Like, what do you see your next, you know, your next step to be now that you've come this far?
Well, it's one of the many things I've learned during my life and having Reiki is that you can try to see your life as you would like to see it and try to arrange it in a certain way, but it's really quite useless because it will just go its own way. So I kind of stopped that quite some time ago.
Well, that's very, very wise. I'm hoping that I can, like, record this and play it over to myself.
Well, of course, it doesn't work every day and every hour of every day, but I try to, in great outlines, I try to live my life as it comes, because it sometimes takes a lot of trust, because I do feel that a lot of these things happen because of Reiki, and I think, well, I trust in it. I trust in it that the things will happen to me that will be necessary for that moment at that time to develop more or develop, or maybe to stand still for a while. Just it will. I always was thought that Reiki was an intelligent energy. So I do think that it corresponds to each other. It will give you the right thing exactly on the right moment, where you need it.
Well, if you trust that, then you really are following the precepts immediately.
I'm following the story there.
I said, if you trust that philosophy, that Reiki will bring you the right thing at the right time, then it feels like if you can surrender into that, then you're practicing the precepts immediately.
Well, I try to. It's not that you like it always, but
right. No, I think that the state that you're describing is the state of being in the precepts, and you don't even have to worry about them at that point if you can really trust in Reiki. That was my point.
Well, it's something I try to do as often as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, good for you. It's very inspiring. I will remember this for the next few days, I hope. Because there's always times when there's a point of distrust, I think. And I guess that's my biggest challenge.
But I think it's biggest challenge in everybody's life. And well, even with Reiki you can get really unhappy, so it's sometimes, but that's the thing, that sometimes you feel this feeling of distress where you start to doubt, well, maybe it isn't going to be all right, but after a while, when you, well, especially when you treat yourself with Reiki as well, and when you get your your head more cleared up again, then, well, it usually did turn out for the good. In the other days. So why shouldn't it turn out now for the good in the future?
Right.
That's something I always try to tell myself when I'm in trouble.
Well, it's a great security, and I really appreciate how clearly you know what Reiki can give you and what it has given you. It's great. Thank you very much, Mark. And I'm just wondering, do you have anything that you would like to say to the listeners? The last moments of the interview?
Oh, I'm sorry. Kind of blank.
I mean, you just shared a lot right now. I just wondered if anything else that comes up for you.
No, not really, actually. Oh, I'm sorry. It was a great moment for some wise words or something, but it's not there.
Well, you know, I have a friend of mine who is actually a sound engineer, which I find the sound equipment to be so interesting in lots of different recording studios. I don't know if you find this to be true, but if there's something that's going on that's not clear, it'll feed through the sound equipment, and then you'll get a lot of feedback, or something weird will happen to the sound.
While you're recording, or
While you're recording, or while you're performing, or whatever. I mean, that's been my experience, actually. So I always like having the people who are on the soundboards, very mellow and really trusting what's happening. But sometimes it's actually within the audience themselves. So it's been very interesting to connect with equipment and with the creation of space and be able to have that come together, in sound. And I'm wondering if it seems like that also happens through the camera's eye as you do your filming.
Yeah, I think that space
comes together.
Because, well, of course, it's radio making is it's not as with a bigger group of people as you would do in filmmaking. Usually, right. There were 30 or 40 people on a set, on a medium set. So, if the energy isn't right on set, then you have a serious problem.
Yeah.
So, I always try to make sure that all the people I pull into projects, that everybody's on the same energy flow, because otherwise you have a really hard time of getting everybody together, because if everything connects to each other, you sort of rise up to a next step or next level.
Right.
And that's you only need one distorting person in energy terms then to pull it back. So I think
Exactly.
Yeah, I
totally agree with you. And if we could take that image and apply it to our families or our communities or whatever, I think we really have influence. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Mark, for everything. I really appreciate talking to you today.
Oh, pleasure.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Rachel Ballard.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.